In this episode of the Smart City podcast, I interviewed Thibaut, who is the founder of 4Instance and the co-founder of ExpoPolis, the Smart City Virtual Expo. Thibaut very kindly granted me permission to not pronounce his last name. Thibaut shares his background in the public sector and his passion for connecting the government and industry. We also discuss ExpoPolis and the Smart City Virtual Expo, as well as the importance of both physical and virtual expos. I also really enjoyed talking about how some smart city projects might be to disconnect from technology and to bring people together. So as always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
It's the Smart City Podcast, whoa, with smart city experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. The Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Thibaut. How are you going?
Fine, thank you, Zoe. You too?
Yeah, I'm well. I hope I pronounced your name correctly.
Yes, you pronounced it awesome. Correctly.
Excellent. Well, I'm really excited about this interview to talk to you because we connected on LinkedIn, and yeah, I checked out your website, and yeah, I'm really interested to get into this. So let's jump straight in. And can you tell us a little bit about your background and what you are passionate about?
Yeah, so my background, I started about approximately 22 years ago with a magazine for the public sector, a magazine around public management, because it doesn't exist or didn't exist at that moment, and talking about change in the public sector. And since those 22 years, a lot of things changed, of course, because we had e-government, digital government, and so more. And so I have a link with this public sector and try to connect the world of the industry, working on new solutions for this public sector. And on the other hand, the public sector looking for solutions to improve the services for the citizens, et cetera, et cetera. So I was already more than 22 years ago in touch with the public sector. And I started also in that moment with the launching marketing and communication in the public sector. At that moment, people in the public sector say, "You're crazy. We are not doing marketing and communication. Our citizens, they have rights, and that's all. We don't have to market our services." Well, 22 years later, we see that all those publics, the administrations, the central ones, and also the local ones are doing their marketing, of course. And so I think they are also talking about not only citizens, but also about clients. So that's a little bit, that's important to know that they have this background. So the name of this magazine and organization is 4Instance, because we tried to come up with examples, because it's always better or easier to understand something when you have an example. So that's one. And then another thing is that I started 9 years ago a startup called ExpoPolis. So it's a place, it's the city of the expo. It's a virtual, it's a solution, in fact, a software that makes it possible to organize virtual fairs. And in the beginning, most of those fairs were job fairs because the job market was very present, already very present on the internet. So it was easy to start with this. And last year, then we started with, for instance, organized a conference here in Brussels with 40 speakers around the topic smart city and IoT. And then we did a little study towards 200 cities, asking them, where do you find examples and where do you... where are you looking to have more ideas about smart cities? And one of the questions was also, are you going to the famous fair in Barcelona? Because everybody knows this fair in Barcelona. It's a smart city world fair expo. And more than 80% of the persons we questioned told us, "We don't have the budget. to go there because we need to take the plane, we need to stay there in the hotel, and for a city, we can't afford this. It's very difficult. So for me, it was quite logic to start to use, in fact, my experience with, for instance, and on the other hand, use the software of ExpoPolis. And so we launched last year Smart City Virtual Expo. When I said we launched, in fact, we start using the software, adapting it, and we presented it for the first time in Barcelona last year in November, thinking we were ready, but it wasn't ready because at that moment we get a lot of feedback, and we saw that people, well, Smart City, in the beginning our website was only in English. Today it's in 11 languages. Why? Because it's important for the national or the local persons to have to find their way in their own language.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about what sparked your interest in the smart city space.
Well, in fact, I'm interested by this topic because I see the same what happens the last 15, 20 years in the central government when they are talking about e-government. It was a little bit the same, using information, using data, and to give better services. In the beginning, you have to fill in papers and give your name, and then you go to another administration and you give again the same information. And at the end, people said, but you have already all this information. Why are you not reusing it? And what I see in smart cities, it's a little bit the same. They try to use the data and to come up with more personalized solutions and services. That's for the more service part. Of course, then you have also technological projects like lighting projects, mobility. In fact, smart city is very large, and it's interesting, I think, or maybe it's not interesting everybody, but everybody is in touch with it.
Mm. Yeah. So is your focus on the technology or more that kind of overarching concept about communication?
Well, I think both are important. Last week, I was invited in a school here in Belgium. It was a high school where the students got 6 weeks to work out a smart city project. And some of them worked out a more technology-based solution, and other more on the concept. And one of the groups, there were, I think, 14 or 15, one of them was really working on a project where you don't need technology, but it was really based on the way how they connect with people and make it easy. It was, in fact, what we told here, the more logical way of thinking, like we say here in the Flanders, the farmer way. You see, it's quite logic and it's normal. You do it like in this way, because sometimes you see that administrations are making it very complicated. And in one of these cases, just this group was working on something, not technology, because everything is connected. And maybe that will be also the future. How to find out smart city projects that are not using the new technology. We need this new technology, but I think will also be good to have solutions without this technology, because we are connected 24 hours on 24 hours. We are stressed. People said people are talking about their stress, burnouts, etc., because they are always, always, always thinking about doing not only for the job, but also privately. You always connected. You don't have a moment for yourself where you said, okay, I don't want to have this connection. And I think it's also important to have smart city project without this technology. But the technology is still important, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like that kind of perspective that smart city project could possibly be the turning off of technology as well. Cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you're working on at the moment.
Okay. So we are working on this Smart City Virtual Expo. And as I told you, we used an existing software. And in fact, it's a place where cities, companies, and so the industry and also startups can have a booth and present their projects in different ways. So that's the basic. Then we added also a community, and the community is in fact the sum of all the exhibitors and the visitors. In fact, when you're going to a physical fair as visitor, you will have a contact with the exhibitors. You will not have a contact with the other visitors. You will have, of course, if there is a workshop, you will have, of course, some contact with the people in the workshop, but you will not have the ability to have a connection with all the visitors. And of course, those visitors are all interested by the same topic. So that's the reason why we think with the virtual community, we will create this possibility that visitors will have the possibility not only to connect with exhibitors, but also with other visitors. So that was the basic. We are now working, and that will be ready for September, on a kind of marketplace. And the marketplace in two approaches. We have two approaches. We will have a marketplace with where cities, companies, universities can post their projects they realized, so that could be reuse, where other cities can do their shopping and said, "Oh, that's interesting. We have the same problem. Maybe we can reuse this solution. It will be cheaper, of course, because it will be used for a second time or third time, etc." So that's one way of one approach for the market. The second approach is more a kind of call. Some could be an idea of a couple of persons, a startup, or from a city. We have a problem, and we try to find out the solution, and we want to do it with other partners. And that could be the way how cities can try to find them and work together on the same project, because it's always the same. When you have 10 cities interested by the same solution, when they work together, well, they can bring together a budget, but they can also bring together the workforce, because workforce is generally also a problem. So that's something we will add in September. And in the same way, at that moment, we will add also a job board, because the cities are looking for new kind of profiles. They need engineers. They need people working on or specialized in IoT. They need people specialized also in blockchain, because blockchain is also related to the smart cities topic. And so that's the reason why we also add a job board. That means that all the exhibitors, we have the possibility to post their jobs and telling, okay, we are looking for this kind of profiles. So I think at that moment, we will be a very complete solution. And that's what we are working on. And maybe important to tell, it's virtual, but we are still believing in physical fairs. And I can prove this because as Expopolis, a company working on virtual fairs, last year we attend or participate at as exhibitor to 4 physical fairs. So, because we know that both are important. It's more a tool and could be enforced physical fairs. So we are also talking with organizers from physical fairs and to look how we can work together.
Yeah, cool. So this virtual space, is it like open all the time?
Well, the space is indeed, it's open for all visitors, but we have a difference between the public servants and the private visitors. And the reason is quite simple. In fact, for us, our the most important target are, in fact, the users, are the public servants dealing with smart cities. For them, they can register. It's completely for free. They can visit the fair. They can connect with colleagues. It's for free. For companies, they have to choose. They have to choose if they want to be exhibitor, then they have the visibility, but they can also be a visitor. And to visit the fair, that means that you have an access also to the community and have the possibility to network. We have a fixed price for 1 year from it's 50 euro. It's not that much, but in fact, what we try to avoid is to have 80% of companies and salespersons and consultants walking around in the fair, and then 20% of persons working for cities. In fact, I prefer to have 80% person from public sector and 20% from private sector. And that's a little bit copied from our work, the way we are working with our conferences. For instance, we have always the 80-20 rule. So 80% persons from public sector, 20% from private sector. And that gives a good balance.
Mm. Yeah, cool. Well, I know you're based in Belgium at the moment, but you're looking at moving soon. But let's talk a little bit about Belgium and where they kind of rank when it comes to smart cities.
Yeah, it's very difficult to give a ranking because you know that we there are a lot of organizations and studies, and you have studies from USO and then another ranking from the Smart City World Congress and so on. And it's very difficult to give a ranking for Belgium. What I know is that we have some cities really working very hard on it. We have on the Flemish side, we have Antwerp, and Antwerp is investing a lot of money in IoT, but they have also the harbor. And that's the reason why it's easy for Antwerp, because it's an international worldwide known harbor. So they are already international. And so they are really working on the IoT. And their idea is to use their city as example, and then they will export this towards other countries in the world. We have another solution. It's Ghent, another city. It's Ghent, a smaller one. So they have another kind of approaches. But again, last week on the same place where there was a presentation of those students, there was a small city. Well, I don't know. It's not really a city. It's smaller than a city. They have 14,900 citizens, and they worked out some mobility projects, and those projects were really, really very impressive. And it shows that you don't have to be big to have a nice project. I think this is important also. So ranking, okay, it's important, but ranking is also a little bit it's a little bit also the way how a country is putting her industry on the market. And I can give France as example. 2 years ago, nobody was talking about, or 3 years ago, nobody was talking about France. Today, France is everywhere. And the reason is they launched a concept, French Tech, and they have, of course, the new president who is it's a young person, but he also coming up with new ideas, and he's very international. And so he wants to create also a kind of a new CES in Antwerp, in Paris. So that's the famous fair that will take place this week. At the end, it's Viva Technology. It started a couple of years ago, and today they are talking about 8,000 exhibitors. So it's also a little bit the communication and the export approach of a country. So ranking, it's difficult because Belgium is very small. You know, we are a small country, and we have two parts. We have the French part and the Flemish part, and that makes it again, smaller. So it's very, very difficult to be then on the good place on the ranking. I know that in the beginning of the e-government, when Belgium started with the EID card, at that moment we were ranked on the number one because we were the first introducing the digital ID card. So that was quite new, but a couple of years later, you have Estonia, and Estonia is also a country well known for a very a technology based approach, e-government approach, and I think they are now number one.
Mm. Yeah, cool. I like to ask this question mainly because I really enjoy the conversation that comes with it, which is that ranking is not necessarily the most useful thing. It depends what kind of criteria we're looking at. But I think you said effort, and I really liked that. And I think that's a really good way to put it, that spending a lot of time and effort into smart cities is the really important thing. So, thanks for that. That was good. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, you mentioned government, and I think particularly in the smart city space, we need to integrate across all these different areas. And I know you've talked about the public sector and the private sector and bringing them together in your kind of virtual expo. So how do you think we can better integrate across these different disciplines, government, industries, academia, that all those parties to come together?
Yeah. Mostly they come together in a kind of small projects, test projects. It's possible to work together when it's a small project. It's a kind of investment from each side, from the industry, from the city side, and then also from the universities or schools. But once it have to grow, then you have a problem because there is a kind of law also that means that a city has to ask the market for an offer, and you have some rules for this, and sometimes you have the problem that companies like small companies with very good IDs are not participating in this kind of projects because they said we don't want to give our IDs because afterwards we know that they will ask the market for an offer, and then generally the bigger companies will say, okay, we can do the same, we can do it, and they have it's more easy for them to answer those so requests. Yeah. So, and I think there is a little problem. Otherwise, what we see is that what I saw the last years is that there is really a good connection between the private and the public sector. They're working together, they're talking together. So, of course, we are on a good way for this.
Mm. Yeah, cool. So do you think that Belgium can become leaders in this space?
Leaders, for the same reason, I think we are very small, and maybe we can be a leader with the projects in Antwerp, because the project with Antwerp, it's IoT. They have they got the money also from the regional government, and they integrated also the Leuven University in their project. There is also a company like IMEC, who is very important in working out a new concept. So this is very strong, and yes, this is a project that could be a leader. But to tell that Belgium will be a leader, maybe not, because you have so much topics that you can't be leader in everything.
Mm, yeah, so maybe certain aspects.
Cool.
So the next question is about emerging trends, and the ones I like to discuss are the ones maybe that aren't discussed so widely. So do you have any ideas about the emerging trends that people aren't talking about at the moment?
Well, it's difficult to answer this question for me because I have the the mostly the projects I see and people talk about are really mostly the same in the same context. Again, I was on an event last week, and that was more an event where they worked out projects, more social projects, where the accent was more on that creating a place where people are talking with each other, helping themselves, create a kind of small place in the city where everybody knows each other. And I think this it's not new, but the what's interesting is the way how they approach it. And it was a project where they put some birds in the city on 5 places. It were digital birds, and when you passed on this bird, you have to I don't know what are birds doing. They are.
Chirping.
Yeah, chirping. And so when you pass the bird, you can chirp, but you have to chirp 3 times, and then it was registered. It was registered, and they have a real enormous success with this, and it brought people together. And I think they had more than 200 or 300,000 people chirp. So. That was really much for 5 places where they do the metering, and it was a way to bring people together on places and talk with each other, and people from different origins, etc. So maybe this is this will be important to work on this and to find new kind of solutions. You know, all the children have a smartphone or an iPad, or I don't have to take iPad, I have to talk about the tablet. and they have this, and they are all connected, and they work very fast with all these things. Well, some persons are working out solutions where just they try to find work something out where those children are doing something else than only be connected via the social networks and via apps and gaming, etc. And so maybe this could be something interesting. In fact, to bring together two worlds, the technology world and then the world of the nerds world, and then the world of the more social persons, the hippies, I could say, bring them together and said, okay, as hippie, try to find the positive things in the new technology, and as new technology person, open also your vision towards not only the technical solution. So I think that could be interesting.
Yeah, no, I really like that. I'm going to pull that out and put it as a quote. That's a really good way to put it. Let's combine the technical and the social and get all those people talking together. Yeah, it's really cool. Well, thanks so much for talking with me tonight here. I'm not sure what time it is over there.
It's morning.
Morning. It's been really great, and I think what you're doing is bringing the private and the public sector is really admirable, and thanks so much for the work that you're doing.
Thank you very much, Louis.
No worries. I only have one last question, which is how can people connect with you?
Well, it's very easy. They can go, of course, via LinkedIn. They can connect with me. I'm very open on LinkedIn, but they can also go to Expo Polis. So Expo EXPO and then Polis from the Greek world, POLES. It's in fact the Polis is city in Greek. ExpoPolis.com, and there they will find all the information.
Yeah, cool. And I'll put all those links and everything in the show notes, so everyone will be able to find you on there.
That's great. Thank you very much for this.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much again, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com, or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at Smart City Pod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.